There are other things that have bearing on cardiovascular health in women that are coming along in breast cancer. And the second big class of drugs that has a major impact, I think, on cardiovascular health is going to be the anti-angiogenesis drugs. Most of these drugs in their clinical development share a side effect of predisposing to hypertension. And I'm not an expert in vascular medicine, but I'm told that this is related through nitric oxide metabolism and other changes in vascular tone. But it's clear that this is a side effect of bevacizumab, and about 15 or 20% of patients in the breast cancer literature will need to start an antihypertensive agent. It's a shared property from some of the other small molecule VEGFR inhibitors. And hearing Dr. Steingart's comments earlier about hypertensive disease in women, again, these are things that are probably not going to be prohibitive to the use of the drugs, but are going to be part of the dialogue as we move forward into this evolving era of targeted therapy.
And Dr. Steingart, there are a lot of questions about what to do about the hypertension with bevacizumab, not just in breast cancer, but lung cancer, particularly colon cancer. In the adjuvant setting, patients are going to be on for a year. Should we use the same criteria to treat in terms of what the level is of a patient on bevacizumab that we would do for somebody who doesn't have cancer, just has idiopathic hypertension? How do you think that should be approached?
We recommend using the JNC7 standards for these patients.
Even for metastatic patients?
Yes, and why would one distinguish the metastatic?
Well, I'm thinking this is a long-term strategy in patients who are not likely to live long-term.
Correct. But on the other hand, I suppose that that's a function of what the systolic and diastolic blood pressure is. Certainly you want to avoid hypertensive crisis. Certainly you want to avoid worsening of pre-existing renal disease or heart disease. So I suppose the threshold would change according to the comorbidity.
What are you all doing in practice? Are you treating 140 over 90? Are you treating 150 over 100? Metastatic disease, for example, colon cancer, we're using a lot of Bev. What do you do right now?
I would treat if it's a diastolic setting over 90.
I have one guy I followed for a year and a half on Avastin, and he's higher than he was at baseline, but he's just hovering at 90.
See, so. I think one of the issues, too, I see in the community, I mean, I think we're talking about, you know, metastatic disease patients have more to lose if we don't treat them aggressively. But I guess the sense I get when my cardiologists and some of my subspecialists, when I consult them on my patients, is that this breast cancer is the most critical thing that this
right.
patient faces. And so this is what we should do with the most aggressive therapy, and then we'll deal with the other stuff. On the one hand, you want to look at the long-term consequences, long and short-term, but it's almost like we have to be much more aggressive because the breast cancer is going to kill a patient, not anything else.
And they also have a very fatalistic approach. Remember, they see the breast cancer patients in the hospital who's had complications. They're not
right.
seeing the 95% of your patients who are in your office year after year after year, so they don't have the same perspective of this as a chronic disease, because they've seen the people who are in the hospital who have cardiac arrest from the AVR, so they see the patients differently than we do.